call the Orange County Commission on the Status of Women and Girls in session on February 5th at 10:04. So thank you all for coming. And I think we're going to start with our Pledge of Allegiance. So I'm going to ask Chris Lynn to lead us today.
Okay. Right hand over your heart.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you very much. And we don't have Valerie today, but we have Joanne, who's just as good. And so if you would please take the roll.
Ann Hertz Mallory.
Here.
Caitlin Brazier Aceves.
Here.
Jolynn Mahoney.
Here.
Christine Merrick.
Here.
Joanna Weiss. Rima Nashishibi.
Nashishibi, yes.
And Crystal Miles.
Present. And we do have a quorum. And thank you, commissioners. I just wanted to note for the record, as I said, we have a quorum, just some housekeeping items before we officially get started. The agenda for today contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. The commission encourages public participation. Members of the public may request to speak on any item appearing on the agenda or during general public comments. Please complete a speaker request form and turn it into the clerk prior to the reading of the agenda item. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak. The clerk will run the timer and announce when your time is up. Public comment may also be submitted electronically by emailing response@ocgov.com. Also, please be aware that the room is microphoned for recording of the meeting. Please try to keep side conversations to a minimum as they may be picked up by the microphones throughout the room. And please turn off cell phones to mute or vibrate for the duration of the meeting. Thank you.
Fantastic. So we're going to move to public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the commission on any matter on the agenda or within the subject matter jurisdiction. Do we have any public comment today?
We do have a public comment. Eileen Hill.
Hi, good morning. Eileen Hill with Girls.
Up to the, we're so happy to have you. We want to be able to hear you.
Good morning, Eileen Hill with Girls Inc. of Orange County, and in just supporting women and girls in the work that we're doing, I just wanted to notify the commission that we'll be having an Employ Her Summit on March 26th at Anaheim High School, and that's targeted towards 7th to 12th grade girls to provide them with workforce resources and employable skills that they can gain throughout the day-long event.
Fantastic. Could you repeat? It's March when?
March 26th from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at Anaheim High School.
And is this something that any one of us could attend, or do we need to let the school district know ahead of time, or is it going to be open?
It's open to the public, and you're welcome to join. It is supported by a local politician as well.
And who would that be?
Aruba Calva.
Okay. Because maybe we can just reach out.
Say, oh, who was it again? I'm so sorry.
Ruba Galva.
Okay.
And do you have a,
is there a flyer that we could share?
I didn't bring one with me, but it's not until March, so I can bring one to the next meeting.
Could you email staff? Do you have that email address?
No, I can jot it down.
It should be on the agenda.
Under public comment? We should put it there, shouldn't we?
We usually do, yeah. We'll make sure we get you some contact information.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming, and how exciting, and thank you for doing that, too.
Absolutely.
Are you able to stay for the whole meeting? Because you might find our...
Yes, I'm staying for the whole meeting.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay, any other public comment?
No other public comments.
Okay, I also would like to do some introductions. So we have a new alternate who is filling in for Laura Ramos. And so I wanted to go ahead and ask Rima to give us a brief introduction of who she is and how she got here.
Yeah, my name is Rima Nashashibi, and I'm founder and president of Global Hope 365. It's a 501c3 nonprofit to end harmful practices towards women and girls, such as child marriage, human trafficking, and other forms of gender-based violence. I don't know if you know, but this is, it seems, a well-educated member commission. Child marriage is still legal in 34 out of the 50 states in the U.S., and in four states, including California, there is zero minimum age. So in California, all what you need is parental consent slash coercion and judicial approval. And all the survivors we worked with of child marriage from California, they advised us that nobody has asked them either at the clerk's office or justice of the peace or whatever when there's a 14 getting married to a 40, a 13 getting married to a 38, a 16 getting married to a 26, whether they're coerced, and they have been coerced. And sometimes that is used to cover a crime, which is rape. And so that's why we're advocating to end child marriage under 18, no exceptions in the state and on a national level. I testified in other states. We've been able to raise it in Alaska, for example, from 14 to 16. Rhode Island and New York passed legislation to end child marriage. We authored a resolution in order to pass it in various cities in California, and Villa Park is one of them. The first city is Irvine. We passed it in 14 out of the 34 cities, and we have 37 resolutions pending, also in cities in LA County and in the county of Santa Clara.
That's very good, and your work is so important. How did you get appointed to our commission? Is it something you found online and wanted to apply, or did you work with one of the supervisors maybe?
Actually, I advocated for the establishment. Re-establishment of this commission.
Fantastic.
And I was there speaking at the Orange County Board of Supervisors when we advocated for that. It just took a while for me to get here and for various reasons, but I've been appointed by the chairman, and it was thankfully a unanimous vote.
Well, we're very happy to have you, so thank you. Okay, Tamara is not here, right? Because I'm still waiting for
No, she couldn't. She's having a baby.
Oh, okay, isn't she pregnant?
What? She's having a baby March 9th. And so I told her, don't worry. She's my alternate. And I said, don't worry about it. I've got now through April covered for sure. So
okay. We're
going to look at our schedule and go, coordinate if
fantastic.
I'm going to be out of town or something.
What if she had her on the 10th when we present our report?
She told me she's usually on, it's her third, it's a boy, and she's usually on time. So.
Okay. How funny.
Okay, well. All right, so we're going to move into our agenda items. Agenda item number one, approved minutes of January 8th, 2026, regular meeting of the commission. Do I have any comments or anybody that wants to make an amendment to the minutes? Has everybody had an opportunity to read them? No amendments. Do I have a motion? Motion moved to approve by Commissioner Merrick. Do I have a second?
I don't count the minutes.
Yeah, neither do I.
They were sent out, but if you also scan the QR code here at the top, you can get the whole packet.
Is that a new thing, just so we know? We do usually have all of the materials printed.
Yes, I believe she mentioned that AOC IOC is doing this to reduce paper, and so she wanted to incorporate it here. So there is this little QR code that you can use with your device to look at the whole packet. But the packet is also sent out via email.
I was going to say, not to put the mom hat on, but we all got it. So it's up to us to read it. But anyway, so I can go ahead and second that. All in favor of accepting the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any abstentions or brain fart? No. Okay, those minutes of January 8th are approved. Agenda item 2, receive update on commission budget, including expenditures to date and fund balance. So that was sent out too, and it looks like, so if you want to scan the QR code and go to it really fast, because I don't think we have a copy of it. But
it, we didn't send it, Crystal.
Yeah. Because it was
confidential. Oh, that's the one I got from you. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So basically, we...
Okay. Do we have it? Can you guys put it up here?
I can...
Confidential.
I mean, it's not, it's, I took everything out that's confidential. It's just because it does reveal, like, the, so you could do the math and figure out how much each employee's earning and,
do you, can we just do the global, the 43?
Yeah, so globally, so basically.
Sorry, and so I only, I provided the breakdown because I did want the ad hoc, as they would have been aware of, like, all of the touch points with staff.
Yeah.
So the, to be able to see the layout of that, and then I can provide the overall numbers for the commission.
Okay, yeah. So basically we've used about half. So
of the 100,000.
Of the 100,000.
And here's this so you can bracket.
And then so it's a little less than half. So it's 34,000 for staff time, and it's broken down into, you know, days and hours. And so,
today,
and that includes all of the
43. Am I just absolutely?
Yeah, no, I'm not done.
Thank you.
Talking about the data analytics.
I'm breaking it into the two.
I am. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so it's for staff time, $34,222.73, which actually is I think really reasonable considering how much time. Holidays that were done, the phone calls, the emails, the texts. I mean, that's
actually. Yeah, I would say, and just for full transparency also, because for planning purposes, we should, you know, share that. I didn't expense any of my time, right? So, you're welcome, of course. And that, but that would be like a project manager, really, because I worked really closely with Chrislyn and Gabby on
we're very lucky.
And the ad hoc.
We're very lucky.
So, just for planning purposes, in terms of like moving forward, I don't know that you could get to that this number, Adam, and especially with all the visual graphics done and all of that part of it too, like the design
updating all the last minute. And then
and so that was really like two reports in one. If you think about the first draft of data.
So between Chow and Gabby and you two, I mean, I actually was expecting it to be a lot more, knowing how much time was put into that and the stuff that was done when we weren't even looking. So so thank you guys for that. I know that you guys put that time in on your own, and so that doesn't go unnoticed, and so I appreciate that. And then the data analytics, there's more. So this is the other part of it is with Gabby, and that's an $8,800, so $8,800. So the total is $43,024.92. And we were allocated $100,000 by Chairman Chafee. So that leaves us roughly 56 something. Someone's probably much smarter than me that can do the math really fast.
That doesn't include the printing?
So that's, yeah.
The last 2 weeks. Yeah, that, I think that was up
as
to
the end of January. We did want to point that out.
Seemed very reasonable.
I thought so too. So
retrograph. Sorry, Crystal. I should just.
I printed that. I printed that. I just assumed this would be up there. Actually, sorry, my fault. Yeah. But anyways, I understand that it was more of a confidence thing. Good thing I didn't like
to
Okay, so that's our update. So we've spent about $43,000 so far for the report, not including what we're going to hopefully approve for the printing of the actual report. So we can just round it up. Let's just say $45,000. So that's something to keep in mind when we talk about the strategic plan and kind of going forward with what we're going to do with that. So, yes.
Should we round it to $5,000? Because I think they said they haven't captured the last 2 weeks of staff time.
Yeah, this is only up until we have another pay period of 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then, just some wiggle room if we can prove a little bit more.
Bless you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to just kind of put it at like 48,000 just in case?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. That's a good.
Like in our heads, just as like a.
Sure.
We'll know more in the 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Okay, so this is just a receive and file. This is not any kind of no vote to it because it's already done. We got to pay for it. So thank you, guys.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
And I always want to, like, value and center, like, people's work, right? I was just wondering, because I know we had talked about an original number, does anyone remember what the original quote that we...
30,000.
I think it was 30,000. Okay. And I know we had talked about, like, it was taking more from the staff. I just always look at things like... I guess that's not that much more. I wasn't sure if it had been 20 or 30 that we had started with, so I just kind of wanted to see, like, how much we have grown, right? Because I know we talked about it, but it was never, like, the numbers were in front of us until now after the fact. So I just want to be mindful of that because I know it's also a partnership, right? We're working with the county, and so, that's a little bit different, right, when you're talking about costs. I just want to be mindful that, you know, we had started out with an idea of like 30 and now we're like closer to 50. So I just think it's important to think about that. And I don't know if these hours, it's like they have to be paid in, or if there is some kind of partnership where it's an interest of looking at, like, can we meet in the middle or what makes sense. I just want to put it out there because the numbers... It wasn't clear what
we did do that. It was 35,000 in the original discussion, and then we also brought up that, especially with having to redo the number, feeling really that we should do that, we knew it would go over. That's when I came to you all to share that. And in the future, if we would have had a better sense for the scope of work, we could have probably given even more of a actual budget. Yeah. We have already taken, there's a lot of time not accounted for on it,
yeah.
On this.
Okay.
We also didn't charge for one of Chrislyn's staff who did all of the girls' data, mm-hmm. because of that reason, because we knew that early on, you know, the commission had set that $35,000 like budget that they were looking to meet. So we felt like this was a good compromise in terms of us being able to recoup some of the hours. But yeah, we didn't account for any of Lambert's.
It was started at 35. I couldn't remember. So that's very helpful to hear.
Yes.
I do appreciate it. I don't think it's gone up that
and
much.
I have it in here. I can also share when it was discussed. And there was also talk that it could go over. And then we were talking about, oh, it's probably going to be closer to 45. That was discussion, though. That wasn't listed in the minutes. So if you see what's in the minutes, it was 35,000.
So just a follow-up on part of that. I think this was the first time, and so that led to some additional, like, take this path, maybe veer this way, redoing numbers. So I would just ask, it's helpful to know there were things that weren't charged to this number, because, like, as you shared the number, I thought, well, it's the first time, so next time we'll be, you know, more efficient, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe our efficiency will be offset by a full charge of staff members that weren't already charged. So I think we just have to be mindful, right, of all the levers or all the factors as we look for next year.
And as someone who is always preaching about, you know, fiduciary responsibilities and fiscal conservativeness, I appreciate your comments and bringing that up. And as my husband would say, there's always a deal to be made. But also in light of knowing, that's why I said I was surprised it was this number, knowing what we know, and we kind of did a crazy Ivan, like, in the end of November when we said, hey, get the new data from the education, you know. So, and then also, as has been pointed out, which we'll talk about in the strategic discussion, this is the inaugural one, and so this will hopefully get those supervisors to go, wow, we need to fund them a little bit more so that, you know, they're going to be able to expand on this. This was the seed money. and look at the work that they could do. And, you know, so I kind of see it as this is very reasonable and a good segue into what's possible if we just had a little bit more. So I appreciate the comments.
Oh, I was just going to add to that original number was based on that one we had already done, and then it was just taking that and formatting it. So this, you know, we've added a whole bunch of different data, went a whole bunch of different directions. So just kind of think of that 35 also as that like base price for what had already been done, but kind of taking that and formatting that. So there are a lot of different avenues this one went as well, in additions and updates.
I with confidence could tell any taxpayer that's going to question it with confidence that this is definitely worth the money, and be able to confidently say that, you know, it's something that's going to help us in the future. So I have no problem.
I agree. I have to just say, I think, and we were also warned, I think, plenty of times.
Good point. Yes.
We're probably coming up about, you know, this is new work. This was outside the scope. And then we still said charge forward. And so I think, especially given, I think to Christine's point, to the timing of this was also unknown to us because it was the first time. So we didn't know that this new data would have come out November, December, where next time we could say hold off on inputting all of this data and doing the graphics on it, because we're going to get new info in the end of December, and you all are going to want the most updated, so let's not prepare a second report. So I think some of this was, I mean, it was definitely on us. And I would normally, if it was a contractor, you went over 20% without letting me know. Y'all let us know plenty of times, and it was, and we kept saying, this is what we want, this is what we want.
And Dr. Marchese's hours aren't even on here.
No. I know.
This is just because I think it's important. Yes.
So we really... you know, you guys are amazing, true testament to the power of women and your graciousness. And that's, again, where I think that with confidence we can tell the taxpayers, like, we've got a very quality product.
It really feels physically very reasonable.
Agreed.
Is this for 2 years, the $100,000?
Oh, your budget? Yes. It's ongoing until you complete, till you...
It's just on. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
But we're going to ask for more. Anyways. surprise. With the printing, it's not really on here as an agenda item, other than I'm going to blend it into agenda item 2 because it has to go with our expenditures. Mm-hmm. And so here's our options, because we definitely want it printed high quality and it'll look amazing, kind of like some of the reports that were brought to us as examples. So we have either 150 reports at $854, 200 reports printed at $1,100 and change. Or 250 reports at $1,300. So that's something we need to decide as a commission. How many do we feel we need? How many do we want? I don't have a good gauge on this. I don't know what you guys typically would
print. For reference, for the Conditions of Children report, we print 2,000. But then it's also available online. So as long as you're going to make it available online, a lot of people... prefer to access it that way.
And also we should point out too that your commission that commissions the report has their own kind of distribution channels already.
We do. And so we work with each of the supervisor offices and generally hold a community forum for, you know, at least three of them after the report is produced, and use that as a place to distribute. So depending on, you know, where you're expecting to distribute, like if you're not going to have an event or things where you're going to be handing people copies, a lot of people are going to just access it online.
Well, it's part of the strategic plan is having the actual, that we'll all talk about, is having the actual report so that it can be used as a, you know, we'll talk about the strategic plan, but definitely we need to have some that we would be able to distribute for our commission to build the strategic plan. So I'm inclined to think 250 because we can always print more if we need more.
Yeah. And then we typically give the board offices, I think, at least 10 copies each as well.
And that's part of our 250?
Well, I'm just saying, consider 50.
We'll consider 50 of them.
I would say quote for either 500 or 1,000. Could we?
I would say, I don't know that it's that much. Yeah. I would say the reason to do that, Joanna, would be, Commissioner Weiss, is to get a better price, right?
Yeah.
We can look into it. However, maybe as you figure out strategically, like, here's who we want to distribute to and get that at that number, then you could get the larger quantity ordered. Mm-hmm. So maybe even start with the lower quantity right now, right? And then kind of come up with what are distribution channels? And then we can get you a quote for a larger quantity. It's up to you. However you want to slice it.
It's not that much. It's only $300 more dollars, I think, for double the copies.
Yeah. I guess 50 of them are straight away going to supervisors. I think it's important to distribute to all the cities, right? And so whether that's just one copy to the city manager or is that one to every county? I mean, if you start to add these things up, you really quickly are going to get to many of these. So I would say at least start with 250, potentially maybe 500. I don't know that we need 1,000 unless we are having an event, you know, where people are coming. But I do think 250 doesn't seem such a large number when you realize how many you're kind of siphoned away right away.
I would agree. I think we start with 250. It's you know, we can always add more. We can put it on an agenda. I can even agendize it for next meeting to let's reevaluate and see how many we have left. Because how long does this take to print? Like 2 weeks or something?
Good question. So it takes, you want to go for Gabby?
Yeah, it takes about 2 weeks to print. And for whatever reason, if we want 250 by the board meeting date, we can always put in that order. And if you decide you want more after, just because I'm not sure their schedule, if they're able to accommodate 1,000 at this point in time, then we can always put in an order and deliver those to you at a later time, either like the next week or.
Let's
one last thing.
I'm so sorry. Gabby, can you also clarify for the commission the difference between the cost for description 1 and 2, because there's quite a different. I just want to make sure that we have.
I don't have a copy of the quote in front of me.
I think it's just the cover is different than the inside. Right?
Yeah. So it's broken up the cost of the cover because it's a thicker. Thicker.
Okay. I was like, what?
They break up the cost of like the sheet for the cover, which is that thicker kind of cardboardy.
I'm sorry, I don't have a sample example, but it's a thicker glossy cover to accommodate the front cover, the back, and then the inside, which in this case would be the acknowledgement page, and then the last page of the report. So those would all be printed on a thicker sheet of paper, whereas the inside is still thicker than a standard, you know, printed paper. It is glossy as well, but that seems to work best for all of our reports that we currently produce.
So then you can decide which one you want to do, because it'll just affect the price slightly.
I think we'll do it. I think it's already accounted for in the in the bid.
It's already accounted for.
So my thought is kind of along with Commissioner Merrick, where we do the 250, knowing that we're going to be immediately losing at least 100, right? Sorry. And then we can kind of agendize in March just to revisit the issue and see how many we have committed. Because from the strategic plan today, y'all are going to know, once I tell you, kind of how many you guys might need. So I think we need a motion for that since it's an action item. So I'm happy to make a motion that we go ahead and approve the $1,359.95 to ask county to print the 250 copies.
Second.
That.
This is
under
item 2.
Okay, any other discussion? Everyone's okay with the 250? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed or abstentions? Fantastic. Okay.
The motion and the second.
Aye, motion and. Fantastic. Okay, drum roll, please. Okay.
And did you have something?
That's okay. I'll wait. It'll fit into under strategic plan.
Okay. Agenda item 3, final report and Board of Supervisors presentation. So discussion. So our final report, we changed the cover.
It's really nice. I like that.
And there were some very valid comments. The other cover was beautiful and it was nice and it looked like it was outside of nice wildflowers. But it kind of just wasn't communicating right off the bat, representing all the women in Orange County. So I don't know who came up with this. I think it was Gabby. So we played with the size and everything, and this is fantastic. And the real live version of it, or real life, the glossy one, the pinks will come out much, much deeper. So we kind of liked this as a you know, cover. And at first when I saw it, I kind of was like, but the more I look at it, it's like, oh, you know what? I actually really like it. So what? What's so funny? Because I said I didn't really like it at first.
Like, drastically different. So hopefully this is a step up from the first one I showed you.
Yeah, so the reason why, so the ad hoc saw a previous version, and Gabby was able to even take that, pull out different women silhouettes, and kind of finesse them and make it what it is now. So yeah. She actually did manipulate that first image a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we, and you could see the younger girl, right, with the ponytail, and then the older woman. So she did do work on her and on that.
Oh, it looks great.
So it goes to show, you know, just
so. Okay, and then we're just going to go through it really fast because there's only just a couple areas that had some minor additions or tweaks. I want to say thank you to everyone for taking the time to put your comments, and some of you were extremely thoughtful in your comments. You know, not thoughtful like, oh, how kind, but I mean, you were very, you put a lot of time in to making those comments. So that was really appreciated. Hopefully it worked out for everyone. But again, thank you guys for putting that time in. And so if, Chris Lynn, do you want to just kind of start scrolling through it? And we'll stop at just some very strategic points where there were just some minor little comments or additions, changes, and go ahead.
Yeah, so starting at the acknowledgements, there are just slight language changes to the front. For Chairman Chafee's office, and then also we added the AI disclaimer, although there was a lot of modification to AI, so there was a discussion around like how much of it actually is AI at this point, because it's so minimal. I think by the time we you know, changed language and worked on it.
But it's so good to have it in just in case.
Yeah.
In that new sentence, though, there's two words that are... you need a space between by the.
Oh, by the, yeah.
Can you say parts of this report were generated? Because the partially generated maybe seems, sounds like it was more than.
Was it
that's
was?
A very fair point. Yeah.
Maybe like really? It's good. Yeah, and I really wanted to put that it was like all in the narrative more because it didn't touch the data at all.
Yeah.
So that I did.
Did you say minimally generated then? Or?
Yeah.
I think that's important to note. Is there a way to do that?
Narrative parts.
Narrative.
I like the narrative parts. If you all approve
portions
of the narrative parts.
Limited. Lots of adjectives. Limited portions of the narrative parts of this report were generated by ChatGPT and heavily edited. or add another adverb.
Narrative portions.
Do we say non-data?
Yeah, because that can, I've seen, you know, things where we don't want people to think that we relied on chat to pull this data at all.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was our concern as well.
Mm-hmm. We could even say note, they could have a period and then like no data,
or like
no data was
assisted. I feel like even
that chat to be generated.
Referenced.
Limited portion exception, except for data.
Limited portions, except for data, were ChatGPT was referenced or
maybe we hand it off to staff to wordsmith it.
You're good at wordsmithing. Legal perspective. I know this is only in here, right? Because the county would require it from
yeah,
legal.
Yeah, it's one of our requirements.
Point.
Yeah.
But since a lot had changed since then, I know we had this discussion ad hoc.
I looked into it, and I did send a proposed new statement to Chrislyn. It said that it's up to the discretion of the commission, basically. So because it was more, it was edited to the point of it really didn't rely on the initial AI drafts, we don't have to put it in. It's more of a, like, if there was ever a question. We also have mentioned it in past commission meetings, so we also didn't want somebody to say, oh, well, you said back in X meeting, you know, Crystal, we used it. Right, but then you don't cite it. So that was another concern. I know that doesn't really answer the question. Yeah. So we wanted to propose that we can reword this, we could wordsmith it, or we can leave it out completely because we did edit it quite extensively, the narrative portions.
Well, I think it was edited enough to leave it out.
Yeah,
I
would
have a problem with that.
So then we will. I say we. That okay. That's a decision.
I'm good with whatever the commission thinks is the best and most prudent. And as long as legal's okay with it,
yeah. I'll bring it back to Cynthia. I'll explain. You know, give her the context. But it's an IT policy. It's not even like a legal requirement. So within the context of our county IT policy, I'm comfortable explaining why this was not included.
Okay. I mean, I feel like if anything was just like cut out of the AI, whichever one, and then dropped in the report, of course we would have to acknowledge that. But when we're using more of a thought partner, right? I'm trying to get all my lingo correct with AI tools that. That's just like a starting point, and we've gone way beyond what that starting point was through many iterations that I don't think it's anywhere what that AI tool generated.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was just asking June as well because she had some issues with some AI feel to the language, but I think she worked with Crystal to kind of change that.
Yeah. I think it's in a good spot, so I think I agree with the commission for sure.
Yeah, I think we take it out then.
Okay, wonderful.
We'll just get the A-OK from
stricken.
Council.
Yeah,
so
let us know.
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
great.
Okay, so Kristen, you want to
okay.
move us forward?
So, table of contents has been added and that image has been shifted over to there.
Yeah.
It's still the three generations or however you interpret that one.
The quick question that I know we're trying to think if there was a space for a group photo. I wonder if that could fit there.
You don't like the one in the you don't like the one at the end?
At the very end. Where we're actively working.
I like that one, but it's hard to see us, you know. I think it'd be nice. Yeah. I thought it would be nice to have like the actual group photo.
I like how it is because that's real. That's what we look like.
I mean, I don't think you should take that one out. I think that one is really nice. We're in action.
I don't want it to be too much about us. I want it to, you know what I mean? If we have our picture in there too many times, it's, look at me, I think. So I'm okay with how this is presenting now.
I look good. I'm okay.
Now, perhaps you could add it to the like on the last page. The
public needs to know
we wanted
three faces of the commissioners.
I'm sorry.
Well, we're going to have our group photo, right, on somewhere?
And also on your webpage, I wanted to already have it updated on there, but Gabby, did you send the edited version? Not yet, right?
I need to edit that version, and I will say, as for finding a space to accommodate that photo, unfortunately, the table of contents is very limited. And the reason this photo works so well is because I was the main focus, the women and the girl, they're able to be at the corner, right? Because our table of contents got pretty lengthy, and so I had to shrink it up a bit. So I don't think it would be the best spot for a group photo, unfortunately.
The only place I would say would be at the end of the introduction. And also because I would think the table of contents is kind of like a standalone, that it'd be one thing to put our photo the table of contents. I thought maybe the introduction would be the other place.
The introduction, unfortunately, is even more limited in space.
I don't think it fits naturally.
It would have been nice to put with the commission. I was talking to Gabby that commissioner page too, but that's pretty tight.
Yeah.
I think at this point in time, we've got what we've got, in my opinion. So, okay, let's. Do you want to lead us forward again, please?
Okay. So then some of the report summary was just kind of chopped, and just that's the overview of what this report is, what this report isn't. Data summary, you know, there was some edits on making it more of like an exec summary, and I know the ad hoc kind of went back and forth. What we did is we took some of that, the language that Anne had provided, and put that as the conclusion and kind of like draw people to that summary, because if anything, that's kind of, you know, the data summary just puts it all out there, and a lot of points in Orange County we're doing well, and we want to highlight that, but kind of drawing that summarized version of like where we're going in our next steps and what we might be focusing on, because there's more discrepancy. So that's where we kind of use the language in the conclusion box here.
I like the way you incorporated it. I think it looks... Well, right. Anne, thank you very much. You spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah, and you're quite the editor. So
you're so impressed.
Guess what you get? No, I'm
sorry. She gets a chair next year.
it was really well worth the time reading it. I learned a lot and enjoyed going through it in detail. I think that that's this information that is going to make an important difference for our county. So I played with it a little bit.
Yeah.
But you guys did all the bulk of the work.
We will utilize you now. Yeah.
You guys
so the conclusion was wonderful. So we thought that was important to kind of put up front here. And the intro.
The next page. So I had a nice conversation with June Ellen, and we spoke both her as like a member of the public, and then also from Chairman Chafee's office, and kind of with all this, you know, sometimes like it's right in front of you and you just miss it. So she kind of pointed out that we didn't even call out anywhere that this was the inaugural report, since, you know, the commission was disbanded, I don't know if that's the right word, decommissioned. And so I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. So she made a really good point of making sure that in this report, so the introduction, I kind of incorporated the fact that this is the inaugural report and how important it is, and gave a little bit more ownership to Chairman Chafee, rightly so, since he's the one that reestablished this, and kind of, again, how important this is, since there has not and is not currently any kind of authoritative advisory body in the County of Orange right now that or county that has experts on women and girls. And so this, moving forward, could signal, you know, a lot of really good positive changes going forward in an advisory role. We control any of what the Board of Supervisors does, but just the importance of this report. And so that was kind of put into there, weaved in some areas. So that's really the only changes. The main message of it wasn't changed, just some of that was weaved in. And I really appreciate the conversation that you and I had about that. So
I thought they were great edits.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So that's that. And then the rest is pretty much what you guys, none of this got changed. This is all
right here, the images. I know there was comment on the images, so Gabby did redo quite a bit of images and then added, I think, two also in here. Mm-hmm. So you'll see that hopefully there's a little bit more diversity and representativeness at the same time, right, of Orange County throughout the images. So these two were two that were switched. There's a comment about adding for that blacked out space or the other gender, just to clarify the other half of those graphs. These are pretty much the same. I'm not going over like minor or like the edits, just like wordsmithing type edits. These ones are the same as well, all the way up until.
It's page 23.
Sorry, 19 real quick. So this spread is different, 18, 19. What it used to be leadership and representation into childcare. And what we did is we moved up housing and household after kind of taking a look and focusing so much on childcare. We thought, you know, we probably should put up front how many families actually have children before we present how many might need childcare, right? So here we have, you know, the data point where 30% of households have children under 18. So of those households, they potentially might need the childcare, which is on the next page. So putting a little bit more content in front to the spread. So then that childcare dependent care becomes that next spread. Gabby was able to put a image in the childcare. And I know last time we did have a lot of discussion around putting childcare and how much childcare is for families and women, single women. So what ended up happening with that data is we did this table at the bottom of the page, the yearly cost estimate. And in the blue highlighted box down below, what we did is we took the average income of a female from the census and use the average cost of childcare within that. So just to highlight the fact that for someone making median income, it would be about 24% of their income cost for an average childcare. So kind of highlighting that point. So that's kind of where we met with that discussion. And then
23.
Termination back to the 23.
Okay. So this was just, we had to have this discussion about the discrimination and trying not to sound like we're telling everyone that the county of Orange and businesses are discriminatory. And so legal suggested somebody else to make sure it was the CRD tracks. Like it, you know, so that was just language that was put in. Although California CRD tracks certain discrimination data pertaining to women, this specific information was not available for Orange County.
I think I just, a little typo there, I think it's more women 55 up perceived discrimination. I think that's an extra, the N.
Yes, there's an extra word. Maybe under old, older self-reported discrimination on the right.
Also. I
touched that earlier. More women 55 plus N perceived. I think it's just perceived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that N needs to come out. Good catch.
In the next two pages, we were able to add images. Those were a little bit bare in the previous version. So we were able to add two images to the girls' mental health as well as health spreads.
This one, sorry, on page 23, the word perceived. I thought we had discussed using a word like a reported or something that was not, that wouldn't put into like question, right, their experience. We decide on that, or was that just the title?
Received, because that's how the question asked on the survey. Like, did you feel that you were? So they perceived it. So it's not a factual that they were not. This is what they perceived it to be as discrimination.
I thought it was, did you experience discrimination? I thought it was very, and then our problem was that just because they experienced it, but I don't think it was, did you perceive? I think it was very like, it made it sound like they had experienced discrimination. So we were trying to pull it back a little bit, but maybe perceived pulls it back too far.
Well, I think because we referenced the older adult needs assessment report that I'm not comfortable trying to imply something that wasn't reported. Does that make sense. So, and I have a copy of the report because it was the Older Adults Advisory Commission that was very much involved in that.
If there's something in between again, like, is it's not that they reported it, it's just because they
expressed.
They had the experience.
Whatever the question was, frankly, yeah, right? Like, so if it's.
We do have self-reported in the title. So
yeah.
I'll go back to the survey and just pull the exact language then.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fair because if we're using.
Yeah. And, and if we even use self-reported again,
question.
Even if it's self-reported again, I think being duplicative is okay if
or
we're just doing it to be very
experience, whatever
precise
question.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go back. I could pull it up right now too. Okay.
You want to go ahead and keep going? I'm going to look this up.
Conclusion, right?
And I think.
Yep.
Nothing with major changes.
No major changes anywhere else in the data pages.
I thought there was a. I thought we did a little bit of a kind of again little some word stuff now. To suggest recommendations that strengthen long-term, because before I think I had a stronger word, and it was brought up that we can't tell them what to do. We can only suggest what they do. So that was, I want to say that was one of the suggestions that you had mentioned, June Ellen. So that that's in that second paragraph, that's kind of, that was it. It was just like, let's not tell them, let's suggest. And then all the data sources and appendix demographics. So, make it official.
Yes. One question just on the data. And I don't think it requires any change, it's just for my understanding when people ask questions. On page 18, mm-hmm. where we talk about leadership and representation, the numbers that are in parens next to the headers, where it says county level leadership, state ledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that refer to? Like, so I'm a county level leadership, it says 46 out of 58, and then the comment is during 2023, 20% of.
Maybe we should just add counties again. We have it in the header there.
Which
that it's
page
18.
So it's 46 out of 58 counties, right?
Yeah, and we have it above that, that it's 20, that the, but I guess we don't really, so maybe, so it's out of counties is the short answer, Anne. And we have that up in the paragraph above that, that we say that it's 29 out of 58 counties, but then maybe we just need to add the word counties to each of those parens.
Okay. So
to make it clear.
We're really comparing and contrasting the state number with the county number.
Yes, and a lot, and the women's, the well-being index is a report done by the statewide commission on the status of women and girls. And it's we rely on that heavily for parts of the report, and so it's attached in the beginning of the report.
It's on page 10.
Yes. Okay.
But at the same time, if you didn't read page 10 really closely before you get to page 18, it's a little hard. It's a little because again, I think in the text of the county rankings, it explains higher is better.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we don't kind of reiterate that again here. I wonder if we need to
add a sentence please reference page 10, 11 for full explanation and on rankings.
Something like that.
Like all rankings and full explanation.
Because, you know, being 46 out of 58, even if you say 46 out of 58 counties, if you don't also have that little part that says higher is, you know, higher is better, is that without all that context, is it all a little confusing?
Which Give me a note saying reference page 10 through 11 for all rankings and explanation or explanation of rankings and all categories.
Or we could just say higher that language. There's something about
Or maybe just an explanation that it's the county ranking out of 58. Like, because I agree, when you look at it, it's like 46 out of 58.
Or 46.
Standalone, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's right. It sounds like county leaders, like 46
like,
out of 58.
There were 46
county leaders.
People. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So,
the other difference, again, is like the state information is in number out of number. And then we're presenting our county information in percentages.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that.
Can we say ranked 46?
Yeah, could it be like ranked 29th out of 58 counties, ranked 46th out of 58 counties, ranked 34th?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh,
I think
that's
a little
that
clarity.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's our ranking.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. It took me a minute to
get
there.
Like a good
sorry.
Point. Why don't we just change? We don't have to use. Because I think it's a holdover from the way they do it of like the parens, blah, 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 out of. But if we say ranked 46 out of 58 counties in California or something.
And Joni, we're saying that the higher is the better.
Higher is better.
So like 46 out of 58. As you get closer to 58.
Yeah, you're bad. So our county leadership
like
was
good in
bad.
School board leadership or school board membership were good or
so
better.
In ranking is like. Like when you do a race, right? Like you want to be first, like ranking, and like when you, yeah. So
and that's why I think using the word ranking like
anchors that, so you don't have to say higher is better. You just say ranked.
Yeah,
right.
Ranking means
higher is better. That's what confused me because I was thinking you meant like higher as you get closer to 58
higher number.
Better.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
so okay,
ranked
I'm higher in the ranking. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So it is.
That's right.
Language
okay,
matters.
That makes sense now.
Right, ranked higher, not higher number. You're right. But not
okay.
Yeah. Who's on first?
I think this data is gonna, I think that'll get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
No, and then we had talked about like how when you go and you look at the chart or the data, sometimes it's just a difference of like point.
Right.
One or two, right. Like it could be an area where we're all like kind of landing very similarly, and that's why there's not a lot of variation.
Right.
But we don't need to point that out, right?
Right.
Even just the voter registration number. That's huge.
Yeah, I know about that too.
That's so low.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we try to work with RV to get the
we
current
did, yeah.
information, but there's no. Field for gender on the voter registration, so they try to pull anyone that like the miss or had, but not everyone puts that on their voter registration. So then it would have to go by names, and we're like,
yeah,
that
yeah you can't.
So they did a lot of. I will say, like, they did do a lot of work into it, and they did spend a lot of staff time trying to get us information so we can calculate the newest like female, but it's just the credibility to that, and even the ones we were certain on was a lot lower. So knowing that,
what's really interesting though then is where is the California Wellbeing Index getting their data?
They didn't even know.
They
said on registration, there's no no one has to put gender on your voter
right.
registration, so you can kind of get an idea on who has Mr. versus Mrs. or Miss.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's an inference.
Right.
Is there some other like identifier that maybe they're like matching to another file, like your social?
Maybe DMV records or something, or
there has to be something. They can't be pulling out
right.
of nowhere.
So you can pay for a very specific request. So my assumption is that the California Commission put together, you know, and actually funded. Like something like an investigation to get to that data.
Mm-hmm. Matched it with some other source.
Yeah,
like
Dr. Martin. They matched it to something else.
Yeah.
Well, these are questions. The California Commission, I think, would love to have a dialogue with us about STEP, anyways. And so these are maybe part of our strategic planning meeting is compile a list of questions to go back to Darcy Totten with the executive director over there and say, these are you have data different than we have access to. Where are you getting this from? And we want to tap into it at some point.
Absolutely. I guarantee you there are political data mining organizations out there that have that information. They've drilled down on it and they have it for sure.
And Liz and I have reached out to find out more about the well-being index with no responses. They're like three separate routes because our question too was, is this an ongoing thing or this was a one and done project to the well-being index? Because we didn't want to put anything also that we're trying to improve when we don't even know if they're going to continue doing and putting out the well-being index.
And on February 9th, there's a Zoom, the California Status of Women and Girls, the state one. Does everybody get that email? You should sign up. I'll be on it. Okay, great comments. We've got some minor little things that you guys are going to clean up or whatever. Is there any other comments or congratulations, you guys. This is...
Thank you to the IHOC committee and to the staff. You guys did an amazing job here. Thank you.
It's all of us. It's all of us. And again, to staff, you guys were the powerhouse. So I appreciate
you also, Commission, being gentle with your comments back to us. It was.
What are you guys doing?
for your trust in us.
Okay, so. Fantastic.
And I think, thank you so much. And thank you, Crystal and Joanna, my counterparts on the ad hoc. I know you put a lot of time and heart into this. So thank you and the team. And I just say one last time, I just feel like because of what we're creating, that's why I brought up the photo, because I feel like for our community to have access to us and to have that pride as women leaders, that's, I think, the importance. But again, I know the design has been redone and there's been challenges, right? But I just want to put it out there. If there's any way, I think that that's important that people, this is something historical that we're creating.
The group photo?
Yeah.
So there's only white space kind of in one other place, which is, it's in the appendix. So I normally wouldn't put a photo there, but you do have half a blank spot. I don't know that I'd want to be on the back cover. That's a little much. I'm not feeling that.
So we could even be able to, if it was a fully blank page, we could put our names and left, with annotations of where we're standing or whatever if we wanted to.
That makes it not central, because I did understand the comment too. We don't need to be the face necessarily, but it's that representation.
I think appreciating the comments, the stage that we're at now, and knowing that we're going to have another opportunity for a report, that we can really make sure we plan to put a picture of all of us at that point in time, other than the one of us working.
So it would be nice to have a photo, an updated photo, because I know a lot of the alternates couldn't be here for the photo we did last time. So it would be nice to have everybody try and do our best anyway to try and get everybody in the photo. So
I'd like to move on to the rest if we can do that.
Just really quickly though, but on the website that photo will be there. So if someone is going to look for it there will be a place, maybe just not in the printed report.
And that's going to be probably where most of the people see the report, is on the website.
Okay, then we are going to go on to some housekeeping items. The annual Form 700 filing, I'm going to ask Joanne to give a little blurb about that.
Yes, thank you. Because of the way that the bylaws were written, clerk of the board is the filing official for the county, and Valerie is the filing officer of the commission. Emailed notices to file Form 700 are already in progress, so you may have already received or will soon receive an email that the filing period is now open and filings are due April 1st, 2026. Those who were recently appointed between October 1st and December 31st of 2025 and those appointed on or after January 1st do not need to fill out in annual Form 700 until the following year. Everyone else, you can file electronically online or fill out and submit a hard copy using Attachment A. If you have any questions, contact our office, and you can also speak to our Form 700 coordinator, Sonia Acuna. And that pretty much sums it up. Some of you might already be familiar with filling out Form 700. If you have any questions, you can always contact our office. And that's it for my portion. And now it's going to be Liz with some general information update.
So can I pop in? So obviously our newest alternate, you won't have to worry about it this year, so you're not going to get an email. But for those of us that have been on a while, it's going to come from OCCOBCOI, which is Orange County Count whatever Board, whatever.
One more time, OCC.
OCCOBCOI at southtechhosting.com. And it's going to say, Dear Joel and Mahoney.
OCCOB.
I got mine already. I don't know.
I got mine already too,
but it was already sent.
So I suggest that you do it electronically. You just go and register, and then it's nice because in the next year or any other commission you're on, it will just you'll just know, and it'll ask you, do you want to copy everything? Do you want to change? So it makes it really easy. Mm-hmm. So, and I can screenshot that if you want.
I can also provide the phone number to our office, which is 714-834-2206, and you can talk to Valerie or our Form 700 coordinator, Sonia Acuna, which is A-C-U-N-A.
And you have to do this. This is mandatory. This is not like, I'm not going to do it because I think you get fined if it's past April 1st. And the closer you get to April 1st, if you haven't done it, boy, they're going to tell you you have not done it yet. So you're going to get notified. So, and I can help anyone too that needs help. So, did you have a comment?
No, I just wanted, mine was randomly in like spam. So I'm glad you guys, like if you haven't seen it yet, Commissioner Mahoney, like just type that OCCB, whatever. That
email's out of control. So,
yeah,
I know. You'll deal with it when you get back from your trip. Just don't even worry about it yet. Don't worry about it yet.
April deadline reminder.
I haven't waited. I did see it at some point. I put the deadline on my calendar.
It came in January 27th.
Thank you for that, Crystal. And then my general housekeeping, just wanted to let the commissioners know, reminder that our information will be updated in our commission webpage, working with Clerk of the Board to make sure that we get all of the materials posted and all of that goes onto the webpage. So for our new commissioner, it's a good place to kind of look at back at any agendas or and if there's any materials or help that you need, please feel free to reach out to Valerie, our Clerk of the Board, or myself. We're happy to get you that information. But we do try to make sure we upload everything and there's even some audio if you need to request that. And then we will have, we mentioned earlier, County Council doing just a very quick refresher about Brown Act. So I know many of you are familiar with Brown Act, but just wanted to put that back into just as we begin the year and answer any questions at that time. So Cynthia, unfortunately, couldn't be here today, but she was going to do it in March. So we will do that very quickly, but if there are questions that you have, just let us know in advance so we can address those. And then I think that was all I had for housekeeping, but if there are any changes needed to the webpage, just let us know and we can make those changes. And that's where we would upload your photo and stuff.
Do you know when that will be live?
It's already, I mean, it's ongoing. It's under the Clerk of the Board. But that's, I wanted to make sure, because even like finding like a contact sheet or, you know, some past data materials, that's.
Can you send the link out to the webpage?
And I think what we can do is like do that to begin the year, right? And then I know as new alternates or new members are appointed, she puts like an email together with all like some information. So maybe just send that to the whole group. Right, to say, reminder, this is where everything is. So I'll make a note to do that.
Any other comments or any kind of housekeeping stuff that we have? Yes.
So I think I left a voicemail for
Ms. Valerie Sanchez. I think the calendaring issue, I think I figured out what it is. I think we have two. We have a Google and an Outlook. So Outlook has been updated, and I think Google needs to be updated still.
That's right, mine's a Gmail.
Yes.
You're
so
right.
Mine on my Gmail still shows as 9 to 11. So I think that's why we are having that discrepancy.
Okay, good. Thank you for figuring that out.
Yeah.
I was so excited. I was like,
I thought
about
that.
Right. And Chair Miles, going back to item 3 on the presentation, did you want to remind the commissioner?
Oh, yes, thank you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
so sorry. So sorry. Thank you. Okay, March 10th at 9 a.m. That building right there. We have an opportunity to present this to the Board of Supervisors. And if you can attend, that would be fantastic. So,
and if you can, June, I think it would be helpful for your team, right, if you knew who was coming, because you'll be doing some print, some presenting resolutions, is that correct?
Yes, we will. And actually, we'll have resolutions for everyone regardless, but we can present them to you guys.
Okay. I'll be there. I'm flying home Monday night from Sacramento just to be there. So.
Yeah, I'll be there as well. So 9 a.m. I have in my calendar,
8:30.
So 9.
I'll be there, too.
I'll be there.
Yeah, because they do all the presentations and stuff at like 9. So even though the meeting doesn't officially start at 8:30. So let's all be there early. Sit right up front.
8:45.
We can all wear pink.
It's in there.
It's in here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will we be presenting the report?
We aren't going to, no, it's not going to be like what we have here. It's just going to be a couple comments of like, this is the report, this is who we are, this is why we did it, blah, blah, blah. They will have already received it and hopefully read it. And then we're just there, especially since it's Women's History Month.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll invite us up.
Hopefully.
Doug.
With the item itself, there could be an opportunity for a public comment, but I don't think they will have you guys go up and speak or explain the report. And then in regards to the presentation prior to the item, it will just be regarding Women's History Month, and you guys will have the opportunity to go up, receive your resolutions, take a photo, and then Crystal will be able to make some comments on behalf of the commission. So that is the plan as of right now.
Fantastic.
You want us all in pink? You said that.
I would love to have us all in pink.
You don't have to. Just like the one they did for the orange, for the human trafficking prevent.
Exactly. Thank you for the reminder.
Yes.
That's really important. And if you can't come, I understand. If you can, that would be amazing. That would be fantastic.
What is that?
What is that?
March 10th?
March 10th.
Oh, March 10th. Yes, okay.
Okay, so any other comments or general information that needs to be stated? Because we're going to get into the good, juicy part.
I don't know that I have pink.
Lavender?
White?
White?
Maybe this palette?
Yes.
Purple?
That's our color palette right there.
Lavender.
We'll do a palette of pastels.
It's like an ombre, right?
Right, right,
there you go. Bling us out. I'm just kidding. Okay, so you have two documents in front of you. Look like this. So when I was doing this, I had these really great, huge, you know, illusions of grandeur and how much we're going to do this and get done and blah, blah. And then I was like, okay, wait, it's already February. I knew how much we had as far as a budget. I know what we want to accomplish, kind of the goal going forward. So what I did is kind of did this 26-27 plan so that we can have some guidance. Where it takes us, I don't know. I think we still have a lot of... I think that there are some limitations. We only meet once a month. So my resolution this year is managing expectations. And that has been kind of my mantra with all of my things that I've been involved with this year, is we have to be able to manage expectations. So when I very first thought about the strategic plan, I was like, had this whole thing, but then I realized like that's not reasonable. It's really not gonna happen, especially if we have a limited budget. So I, based on the ad hoc's comments and kind of me as chair, this is kind of my thought, is I put together kind of this draft for review of a strategic plan, concept ideas, and some proposed themes. So this page that has proposed 2026 proposed themes, and then I thought of the four kind of main things that maybe we've talked about or touched on or the report really honed in on. And so childcare access and cost, as you all know, well, maybe don't all know, but that was something that two supervisors, only because I saw them someplace, really kind of honed in on me. I'm not saying that other supervisors don't find it important also, just having conversations with those two in particular. Barriers to workforce reentry, wage stagnation and occupational segregation, and then housing costs and stability. So, not to throw AI under the bus, but I put those into AI and asked AI for suggestions. And so, gotta be transparent. And so, this is kind of what kind of came up. I played with it some. It was actually really thick and a lot more, and so I kind of squeezed it, narrowed it, and kind of massaged it, if you will. I'm not saying we can access or do something on all four of these. I think that is unreasonable for us to try and get something done in the next year. So with that, I said, okay, well, for me and kind of the conversation, I don't want to sound like this is it, but it was that child care costs and the economic stability and how everything feeds into or off of that. If you're paying anywhere from 25 to 30%, some of the data that we saw, Joanna and I saw, of your income is going to child care, and then the rest has to go to food and shelter and gas and blah, blah, blah. It really puts you at a disadvantage. So kind of did this introduction, mandate and scope of it. So let's go through it really fast. So introduction, and I kind of took exactly what was in our report, because that's why I've written it 5 times. Orange County Commission on the Status of Women and Girls is charged with identifying the conditions and needs of women and girls in Orange County and providing informed, actionable recommendations to the Board of Supervisors. This 26-27 strategic plan establishes a clear framework for how the Commission will fulfill its advisory role, because I've got to make sure we understand we are advisory. I kind of got some problems with that back in December when I was told, you can't make them do that. Over the next 2 years, it outlines shared priorities, guiding principles, and a structured work plan designed to ensure the Commission's efforts are focused, evidence-based, and aligned with county priorities. So the mandate and scope, our authority is advisory. So responsibilities include studying issues affecting women and girls, reviewing data, and identifying systemic barriers. To me, some of them are systemic. That may be a word that irritates some people, but I find some of them are systemic. Engaging stakeholders and community partners, and then developing recommendations for the Board of Supervisors. That is what I feel is kind of the path of what the strategic plan should be. So, Commission does not direct programs, manage staff, or implement services. Operational responsibilities remain with county departments and agencies, and clear boundaries ensure the Commission's work remains aligned with its legal mandate and maintains credibility with the Board. I didn't want the Board to ever think that we are trying to dictate to them, and based on some conversations we had over the holidays, I didn't want any of the Board of Supervisors to think that we're telling them that they're doing a bad job. So that's kind of where that. So problem statement, again, for me and the information I've received back, economic disparity continues to limit opportunity for women and girls in Orange County. It's all in this report when we talk about the disparities economically for women and girls. High child care costs and limited availability reduce workforce participation, strain household stability, and contribute to long-term financial insecurity. And I should have put in my opinion, but that's how I feel. When we've had these ad hoc things, in my mind, that's what I envision. Everything bleeds from that. And so you're not gonna skimp on your child care costs, right? Because you want to make sure your kid is safe. So that puts you in a position to really be tied down and held to the fire for these child care costs, because no one's going to be like, oh, it doesn't matter, you know? These pressures intersect with disparities in education, housing, health, and legal protections. Tried to incorporate some of our stuff from our bylaws or our mission. that disproportionately affect single mothers, low-income families, women of color, and older women. Got to throw my older adults in there. Addressing child care affordability and access is a foundational step toward reducing economic strain and expanding opportunity for women and girls across the country. So then this four guiding principles, this will come in when we move forward. So hold on to the guiding principles. The strategic focus area, so the primary focus, as I see it, is child care affordability and access. That is the primary focus. So we can examine, will examine, cost and availability of childcare, workforce impacts on women, barriers for low-income families, geographic disparities, and connections to employment, housing stability, and long-term economic mobility. This focus area reflects both current data and stakeholder input, indicating childcare as a central driver of economic disparity. But because a lot of the Commissioner Fraser Aceves had some very good, you know, comments and points, and she was concerned that we were going to be omitting some stuff and kind of overlooking or glossing over or not making it as important. That's why there's secondary context areas, which basically, in a nutshell, what I'm saying is we're going to weed those secondary areas out just by virtue of compiling data on the barriers and compiling data on what happens when women spend so much of their income on childcare. So some of the areas that will get fleshed out would be education or housing, which again is not going to be our main focus, but the report will be able to substantiate how that gets impacted by spending so much on your childcare, along with health and mental health. You know, you get depressed, you know, maybe you that leads you into drugs and alcohol. I don't know. This is where we can, you know, feed this out. And then policy and legal protections, right? And then the work plan and timeline, research and data collection, analysis and synthesis, drafting the report. So this, in my opinion, we can get this done and draft the report and end up exactly what we did this year. So starting around October of this year, we would have compiled enough information to be able to confidently write a report specific to, bless you, economic disparities in childcare and how that impacts everything, and be able to make some recommendations from that. And then, of course, the drafting report, everything else would just follow along what we've been doing so far. So what I'd like to see happen, and so when you look at, if you turn the page, there's some suggestions like engagement methods, stakeholder mapping, the roles and responsibilities. So commissioners, research, analysis, stakeholder engagement, drafting and review. The county has provided all the data that we really need. So that's what this is. We've got a great packet and resource. Not to mention, there's also a lot of references, resources in here in the appendix and the different data sources that they've used. So we have a lot more, I think, access or knowledge of where we can go find some data. It doesn't mean that that's all of it. There's obviously more. So chair, vice chair, meeting leadership agenda, blah, 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 regarding this, and then staff and ad hoc committees, which brings me to what I would like to see is two ad hoc committees. There's seven of us. I would like to see three people be part of two ad hocs. And what are those ad hocs? Those ad hocs are, one ad hoc is a survey ad hoc. And this is my recommendation. Anne, Christine, and Jolynn, you would be part of the ad hoc for the survey. And what I mean by that is, I would like us to be able to, by, what's this? By the April meeting, have a list of questions, who we would go ask these questions to, maybe some ideas of some different vendors that could put out the survey, have a discussion. Could we afford to have somebody put out the survey? Or is this something where we could just identify specific groups in Orange County, whether it's, you know, Girls Inc. or whether it's someone from your group or whether it's going to UCI or whether it's just polling all the girls in the office, whatever it is, you guys would come up with a plan on do we have the ability to do a survey? What kinds of questions would we ask that would be able to weed out and figure out how can we glean from this that yes, child care is a problem, access to child care is an issue, and what comes from that, right? So you guys would meet, you guys could do it online, you guys could create your questions yourselves and then send it to each other, whatever, I don't care. But you guys would come back in March with just a list of, yes, we think we could do a survey, or no, so-and-so went and, you know, talked to county and we'd have to do an RFP and it would take too long, or yes, we spoke to county and actually we can do that because we have it's part of this discretionary thing. I don't know. That's a conversation that you guys could have with staff that would not have to happen here. But just try to find out a way, how could we get data ourselves, right? So that would be that one. The other one would be Joanna, Caitlin, and Laura, which you would have to convey to Laura, or is a list of the experts and the authority. So you kind of have it already started with some of these, but where can we go to get this? Is it, again, is it the schools? Is it the UCI? Is it the health department? So you guys would kind of come up with, who can we ask? Where can we go to present this survey and get this information? And so then in March, when everybody comes back and we can then, in my opinion, go, okay, yes, we can do a survey. You've got questions already. Do we like the questions? Or no, we can't do a survey, but we can just go and, find more data on this. It's really a fact-finding thing. So that's kind of the plan. And then from that, we would be able to...
I'm sorry.
Oh, on the survey committee.
No, I got the survey.
The list of experts. It'd be Joanna, Caitlin, and Laura. So there. So that's kind of because what I'd like to have happen is come October, a draft is presented with minimal input from staff, since we don't have the budget that we're have. We have to do the research. We're going to have to filter through the data, and even if it may not be 32 pages or whatever this is, it may only be 15 or 16, but now we can say, based on the report that was done in 2026, we were able to identify this area, and look, this is the data we saw from this. And even if it means like calling up the state, you were so good at, that's why I put you on this one, you were so good at finding data from stuff. I was like, where did you find that? So, I tried to put you on these based on, the questions that you would have, or if I saw your comments on the thing, kind of where I can really tap into, Caitlin, you're so knowledgeable, especially in the education part, about where to go find this information as it leads to, my students, I think you've mentioned a couple times, there's students that, they don't have lunches because of blah, blah, blah. You've got a lot of wealth of knowledge of where we can go get that information too. So
our students have lunch.
We provide it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yes. Santa Ana's feeding everyone. So that's kind of my thought. It's a bit and like really big, but that's kind of like where I'd like to start. So go ahead. I'm ready.
Okay. First of all, I appreciate, Crystal, you always come so prepared and so fleshed out. So thank you. No, it's super helpful. Just a couple of thoughts hit me off the top of my head. So we talk about child care costs. The governor has made a huge push to make like after school care essentially free for so many. And so it's really that like early childhood is I think a very specific where childcare is just so overwhelmingly expensive. And at the risk of making this bigger,
I just wonder if you're talking solely about like early childhood, infant through toddler care, that's a very specific slice of women in the county. So I just wonder if it could be potentially caregiving overall. And I say this as a full-on member of the sandwich generation whose mom has lived with me since December 2nd, if anyone wants to know the precise date when she fell and fractured her humerus. And so it's really on both ends. And I think if we open that up to the caregiving, like across,
I love it.
Across the whole range, then you really are affecting, right, it's girls that are young, women in middle age, and then you have senior women doing caregiving, sort of all of that. It makes it bigger, so that's the risk of that, is it's not quite so focused.
Well, it doesn't necessarily make it bigger. It just provides more data points.
Yeah, and I think it addresses, right, a broader group of women. And then I'm happy to be on a survey subcommittee or ad hoc committee, excuse me. I just, though, worry because I know surveys cost a lot of money, and so I don't want us to... Like, I don't know that we can get anecdotal information from talking to women in the office, but we can't really put that in a report. And so I just don't want us to, like...
Well, so, and this is the stuff I'd like you as ad hoc me to flesh out.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So then you could come back to us in March and say, yeah, we talked to staff, we did this, even if we did a Google Doc and said, hey, will you participate? And you send it to... maybe all the cities, maybe the city managers. You said, hey, city managers, will you just, you know, I want you guys to have the creative, you know, ability to just kind of go, this is how we did this. Because we can do this report any way we want as long as we have receipts. You know what I mean? Like, yes, we did a Google Doc, went out to this person. It doesn't mean that the data is not true. It's just we have to report where we got the data.
Yeah, I guess, well, you can have this conversation. I just think to be statistically valid, they're very precise rules about it. And coming from other places I've sat, I just know how much it costs to do that.
I totally get it. And there might be some, don't shake your head at me.
I'm going back to my trauma over
adult. Yeah, that one was huge, though. I mean, that was huge. I had that trauma, too, because I was in there. I get it. Trust me, I get it. And, yeah, the unethical trauma. I get it. But that's something I'd like you and your committee. And if you guys come back and go, yeah, we can't do a survey, but this is what we can do. So that's what I'm saying is you guys – you know, make it yours, and if it's just questions that we can, however you guys want to do it, because we have to get the data from somewhere, and so maybe it is, like, we have these questions, and so we each took 5 questions that we came up with, and everybody honed in and figured out answers to these, or how it led to this, or interviews, or whatever it may be, because even if it's anecdotal, we could say it's anecdotal, but it's just, you know what I mean? So I want you guys to have that flexibility and creativity, and who knows what'll happen. And maybe it won't work. I don't know. But this is what I came up with because someone pointed me chair.
That's why I'm not mad about it. No, I'm just the reality check of dollars. That's all for our survey.
Yeah. Yeah, the cost, and that I was chatting with June. I know we talked about this before, but again, I want to make sure what the money could be used for. If it's for generation of the report itself only, right? A survey is not technically part of this annual report that's written, that as written in the reso. So I will work, I can go back, like you're saying, I can go back now and ask that question, right?
Maybe they have some more money.
That's what I wanted to ask was when do we get more money? When can we ask for more money?
So I seriously, but
you're going to learn in March how well we spend.
Well, that's what I was going to say is if we start these conversations now, I mean, the worst I can do is say no, right? So if they end up getting the report, reading it, we go present, we're all there and we're just going like, hey, yeah, you know, this is great. We've got so much that we can, we're knocking on the door on this. And then we have our wonderful spokesperson who goes, you know, they really could use some more money to do a proper survey. You never know, right? And that could be something that happens after March. But in the meantime, the ad hocs come prepared with, like, if we were to do a survey, this is what we could do and ask, whatever, and if, you know what I mean? So these are the questions we would ask. This is how we would filter it out. So I think, actually, Caitlin had a question.
Yeah, so kind of building on this. So one question I had was actually for the team. I know Dr. Marquise in our ad hoc you mentioned about the childcare that there are some conversations. I was just thinking it might be helpful to get some context from from the county of like, where is the county at? What, where are we at with childcare?
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point, Caitlin. So I did mention during the ad hoc, so some of you are aware, but maybe not everyone. So in the summer of 2025, First Five, who basically is focused on kids 0 to 5 and the challenges that those families face, did a pretty broad landscape analysis in conjunction with, I think, the Orange County Business Council, specifically on childcare in Orange County. So I just want to make sure that everyone sort of knows that that effort had already, has already been put forth, and it's pretty recent. So just making sure that everyone's kind of seen that and knows that there's that sort of wealth of information to maybe use as a starting point so that we're not trying to recreate the wheel. So, 'cause I would just hate for someone to say, well, we just did that,
yeah,
you know, in summer.
You mean by, because I know I kind of everything, but we're using it as a way to demonstrate that women become at a severely economic disadvantage based on the child care costs. So I don't know what that report says, if it actually says that, but that's where I'm leading with this, is we know that there's child care costs are high or not very accessible, or
cost,
you know,
and availability.
And availability, right? The waiting list is too long, or I need somebody from 7 to whatever, and you know they're only available from 9 to whatever, whatever that may be. And so, yes, I know there's a report on, you know, the First Five as far as child, but what I'm hoping is that we can glean from that all the secondary kind of casualties of war of that, which is women end up not being able to work, missing out on job opportunities, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that was more not to recreate and go find out, you know, how much is child care. But more about using that as the forward-facing, here's our why we're doing this.
And that was kind of my question, was like, do you know, like, from that, I remember you mentioned, if I remember correctly, like, that some of the data was, it was hard.
It's hard, yeah. It's, I mean, the data's just hard to find. I mean, Chrislyn knows because she, you know, had this indicator and we were trying to fill it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of families use like in-home family childcare. That's really hard to track. So it's just pretty like limited in terms of entities that are collecting broad demographic information around childcare. So she's already done a deep dive. We did a deep dive with conditions of children because we made it as an indicator 2 editions ago and struggled to sort of find really good, reliable data. And then now First Five is in the landscape analysis. So I just want to make sure that everyone knows that like 3 times now we've kind of tried to look and see what data is available. And it's not like there's this like wealth of information that we like somehow have just not found yet. So of course, you know, you have the option to do like innovative techniques to kind of gather more information about Orange County. Might not be things that you can compare to the state or nationally, might not be, you know, be as reproducible if you're doing like survey forms and things like that. But just, you know, there has been a focus lately in the last couple of years trying to get data. So
well, it could be even with the survey ad hoc. That's just what I called it. That name may not fit, but it could even be like because. One of the recommendations that I had in the next steps, which I understand why you took it out, was, you know, can the board of, what do some bigger companies do well that have, keep their women employees retained longer, right? They provide childcare on site, or they modify those women's hours so that they can make sure that they can drop off and pick up or whatever. So it's kind of that breadth of stuff. So it may not necessarily...
It's innovation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll just share that we just met with Chair Chafee's team. I don't even know if you know Janelle, but earlier this week, and one of his Conditions of Children Report Forum is actually going to be on the innovations of what's happening in Orange County around child care. So exactly things like that, some of which he's supported himself.
He'll give us more money.
And so it's going to be sometime in March or April. We haven't picked a date yet. It might be March 6th at La Habra, but I actually spoke to Jessica after the meeting and said, like, hey, you know, the Women's and Children's Commission's really interested in childcare too. Like, it would actually be really great if we could do it after that report was published so that we could promote your report at the Community Children Forum and maybe like bring some of you there and have you participate and whatever. So I don't know what's going to happen with all of that, but just FYI. So so the innovations of like what we currently are or could do around childcare would be a really great extension of the work that's already been done.
Okay, Joanna, sorry.
What I'm hearing is that what we experienced in preparing this report was that there isn't a lot of reportable data or citable data for childcare, so that we kind of had to pull parts of that out of the report because we weren't able to include it. And so if our survey is tasked with trying to pinpoint data that no one else has been able to do data on and capture data, well, that sounds to me like maybe that's not an area that we want to put our resources. But if we had our kind of survey team focused maybe on what helps, like if we just start from childcare is hard and childcare issues need to be addressed, if we had a survey addressing what the best methods, like what women want, what could help the families, rather than continuing to say how many people are in home care, how many people have family members, but we get away from the data side to where our survey is saying, what's going to help you? What's that look like for you? And it focuses on where either the innovation or is it just straight money? Is it accessibility versus convenience? I mean, you know, where are those barriers for them and how do we push through them rather than trying to collect data that nobody's been able to collect, so that maybe our report looks a little bit different.
And that's why if we have these, in my opinion, I love this. And I love that every one of us has a different vision, I guess, of what we can do, what's out there.
I have a question related to that, because I really don't know the answer. So if we wanted to do informal survey, like an ad hoc committee could create structured questions, right, for a survey. But could we partner with somebody like Girls Inc. to have volunteers from the community go out and gather information on those very specific structured questions to informally start to collect some of our own data or... You know, like on a volunteer, is that something that we could do? And I genuinely don't know what the answer to that is.
And this is great. And this is what would happen in your ad hoc. And you would come to us and say, can we do this? You know what I mean? Like, I love that. And I don't see why we wouldn't. And then we could ask, can we do this? And then Girls Inc. or maybe the Teresa's House. What is it called? The
Mary's Path? That's very...
You could give the survey to them.
Specific to...
Right?
Yeah.
Couldn't you give the survey to them?
To Commissioner Mahoney.
I think she would be more helpful with that. Mary's Path is it's all structured in a home with 16 girls. So it would be very limited. And it's built into their program there.
But that's
I think you're interrupt a little bit. First of all, Crystal, thank you so much for all the work that you did on this. I think, you know, taking the data and then putting it into sort of the next steps and so on, I think is really good for framing our conversation. And I feel like we're a little far down the path in our conversation right now because I want to make sure we're all in alignment on the goal that we're striving for. And so based on everything that I read in here, it looks like we believe that economic disparity is related to lack of accessible and affordable childcare and a lack of affordable housing. Like those were the things that really rose to the level of, and there are people that are experts in both of those areas, right? And I like the focus on the childcare component first. And like I've worked with First Five California and OC for off and on for years. They are
so steeped in this as experts. And I know we put together a master plan, preschool master plan like 12 years ago, something like that. I was on that team. And so we've proven to ourselves that childcare costs make it difficult for women to keep up economically, and then that leads to all of these consequences. I wonder, and we've proven through all of these other data sources, right, that there's not enough. That's just like, there's just not enough access. There's not enough that's affordable. I wonder if perhaps where the ad hocs, you know, if everybody's in agreement that this is what we're going to work on, and I think you should probably affirm that, right, with everybody. Perhaps what we're looking at is a collaboration with the subject matter experts that could lead to innovative approaches in Orange County for access and affordable childcare. There may be best practice. So maybe rather than focusing on a survey about need, it's more like what's out there that's already a solution. And there are things with Twilight programs and interesting article lately I read about 24-hour. Like you can drop your kids for 3 days somewhere if you're a single mom and you have to travel, right? But I also think there's several layers to this because there's the affordable childcare costs that affect people in the at the levels of poverty that are very different than those who are working and working for corporations that may or may not have programs that help reduce costs and so on. And both matter. I think, you know, we're looking at collectively, all women and girls. But I think as we move forward, we may want to frame it, you know, in layers somehow. And I'm not saying it very well, but I think perhaps there's some sort of collaboration where we have somebody come in and talk with us at the ad hoc level, perhaps, and find out what are the details of what's out there in the early childhood piece for the low-income people. What about if you don't qualify? There's a huge gap for those who don't. There's not enough for those who do qualify, and then there's this huge gap of you don't even have anything available to you that's subsidized if you're in this other range, which is also financially difficult to live in Orange County. And I don't have all that those numbers at my fingertips, but I think the commission probably does. And
so much of it is, to your point, understanding what is already available out there.
Right.
And so maybe that's an initial area of assessment, right? Just mm-hmm. to take a look at that. What is already available and analyze that, and is that adequate? And if not, what are the recommended changes to that?
Mm-hmm. I would be curious what the reports that Dr. Marquis had shared, because just thinking with the school district lens, right, I know we have the California State Preschool Program now, so trying to make sure families know if they have two-year-olds and above, if they're eligible, which from my understanding is if they receive some kind of public assistance, they should be eligible for free schooling, actually, starting at 2 years old now. And then to Commissioner Merrick's point about the ELOP funding from the state, mm-hmm. We've been able to expand many of our sites even now morning extended learning and after school till into the evening for our students, where they have a safe place with activities and all that. So it would be interesting to see, and I haven't had a chance to look at that data to see like what they're finding, where first five, what the recommendations are. I don't know if anyone has.
Even those resources or that knowledge that you just had because of your position as a school board member, that's kind of why I put you on the I'm calling it just a list of experts or authority. You guys can call it whatever you want, but it's again, it's like, you know what's out there, at least in the school board lens, right? And what the state's requiring and what's available or whatever. And that's something that you can come back to us and say, well, this program makes sure that 0 to 2, whatever you said, I'm sorry, there's so much in my head right now. But so then you can come back and go, well, I know that this program exists and this exists and this exists. And then it gets paired with the information of what the survey, call it something else, I don't care, it's just what I came up with, has on understanding, you know, well, we know that the availability is an issue. Well, who has good availability? Who doesn't? What is the issue? Is it a wait list? Is it a age thing? Is it a understaffed thing? You know, that, I think if we all come back in March and come back with all this data and spend an hour on, we can then guide it more that way. I don't think we're going to have like a boom, that's it today. Uh-huh. But it was more of a, this is kind of the plan. And yeah, maybe it's not so much like, you know, childcare is the only reason why women aren't doing well financially. Well, no, it's probably a little filtered too. But again, we might find that out more succinctly when the two ad hocs, if you guys are in agreement, come back to us with the data. And yes, maybe it's not a survey. Maybe it's more of an interview process or listening, inviting people. That's why, you know, the people, you know who to come and have speak to us on it, or would they be willing to speak to us, or, you know, so that's where I'm at.
My question was, is that data already in existence in those two reports? Like, what were the findings?
So the first five landscape analysis is readily available online. You literally just can Google first five Orange County child care landscape analysis. It talks a lot about cost. It talks a lot about availability. It's like the impact of TK. I don't think that they did like focus groups or listening sessions necessarily, although I haven't looked at it in a while, so I'm not sure. It's definitely, and you've kind of looked at it too recently. it does talk a little bit about some of the innovation things that are happening, but not in great detail. I mean, there's definitely room to talk about childcare. Like, yeah, it is a huge issue. Mm-hmm. Like I said, on our call, I mean, it is huge and it's a huge problem. So,
Sounds like it's going to be a theme too for some of the supervisors. So I kind of feel like, how great would that be?
I just want to make sure you're aware of like the limitations of the data and that there has been work already done so that you can build on it as opposed to trying to redo what was recently done.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think you were going to name two things, the first five landscape analysis. Was there something else?
So the other, I mean, so Chrislyn obviously was trying to pull data for your report and then Conditions of Children report. And then the most recent editions available online. We took it on as a new indicator because we thought it was so important year before last. So now in two iterations of our report, it's been one of our indicators. And just, we really, the Children's Home Care Society in Orange County holds a lot of the data, but they don't really have good, clean data. Mm-hmm. It's pretty limited as to what you could get. So we kind of already like explored a lot of the avenues where we thought we could get good, clean data, and kind of what you see is what you get in the two reports in the first five landscape analysis. Not saying that there's not more out there, but we've tried three times now. So,
I'm happy to share this. So a while back I had done these next steps. And so education and workforce, housing, blah, blah. And so I made these advisory recommendations. So even if the report takes a turn from what it might sound like it does today, where it's more like, okay, we already have all the data we can get, and it's bad, or it's not as good as we like, but hey, here, we even had a panel of people. Like, we could even, maybe in April or May, you guys know people, and we could have an actual day where we have a panel of experts. You could be on there for, you know, the conditions of children. We could have somebody on there from your
place. We could have someone that knows all the state stuff. And we could actually entertain like a panel of people as part of our report gathering process. And we listen and we go, okay, so our report's going to focus on, yes, everyone's acknowledging that child care costs are difficult for a lot of people, or the accessibility is difficult. It's different for different demographics, different for different socioeconomics, but everyone agrees that child care costs are a problem. So here, Board of Supervisors, we spoke to this person and this, we have the data, and all the data recommends that, gosh, having businesses that offer child care in their building really benefits the community. And hey, Board of Supervisors, maybe you guys could suggest some tax credits or something. You know what I mean? Like, then we come up with the actual recommendations for the Board of Supervisors of the
counties
based on our research, information gathering, et cetera. So
we would like us also to research if UCI or Cal State Fullerton or Chapman has done similar.
Absolutely.
Child care and housing, is it?
Well, I think the focus on is really on the child care piece, but we know the housing issues are out there too.
It's one of the, yeah. So anyways, that's my suggestion. I want to be mindful of time. And so with ad hoc committees, you do not need to have staff on there. So, and since it's only three, that way we're not breaking Brown Act because you can't have four. So if you don't have, which Valerie sent out, but it's the list of contacts, I would love, of the two groups, somebody to say, okay, I'll be in charge.
So it's Christine. Christine, me, and Anne.
And Anne, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's Joanna, Laura, and Caitlin, and Joanna is...
I'm happy to...
Okay, that would be great. Thank you. So so then you guys can get together and you can meet. You can even like just do things by email. It doesn't even have to be Zoom. Whatever works for you guys. I would just love that in March we come back with a report from the ad hoc, and then we would have hopefully some direction or recommendations from the ad hoc on what the next step is to be able to, you know, if that includes like ideas of, hey, let's get a panel of people, and here's the people, or hey, we've got some examples of how county blah, blah, blah did it, you know, things like that. So I really appreciate that. Okay, last part, so that I'm mindful of everybody's time, and I really appreciate you guys. Thank you. And nobody caught that I think, Joanna, you didn't like the swag name.
Yeah.
So it's CSWG.
Yeah. I did see that.
Okay. Commissioner comments and roundtable. Does anybody have any suggestions, or you're done with me? You're probably done.
Neither give up. No.
I have one thing. I would love to really be able to go out and speak to the results of the report. Could we create a one-page executive summary that we could have that would include maybe that QR code thing was awfully cute, right? And the link to the full report. So we're not putting enough reports for us to be able to go out to all of the city councils in our district. But could we take this and do a one-pager? I know that would cost some money.
Yeah, in addition, I'm thinking, you know, we do typically put a press release out with some of these reports, so that's something we were thinking about also. But this is more, right? What you're requesting is more.
Yeah, like an infographic.
Like a what? Yeah, an infographic. That's what I was thinking.
It would be nice to have something as a leave behind.
We don't always have to have the tips to pass out.
I mean, I'd love the reports, but the reality is 5% of the people are going to actually want to read the whole thing, right?
Or want it.
Or want the whole thing printed. Mm-hmm. But if we had a one-pager.
Yeah, we can. So that from a cost perspective, we could, before we do it, say this is how much it would be for debt for Kristlyn's team to do to put that in
forward in March.
Right. In advance, ideally in advance of March. That would also help control any narratives because press may get this and say, start pulling things out of context and whatnot. So there's the added benefit of that, right? Where we're putting context behind the find, like what we put out into the one page.
Maybe Chair Chafee would champion cost for that.
I can certainly ask if you want to bring it to us.
Yeah, and we will see. And then also, if would you be the point person to like edit, or would the
or who would
share? And
well, if it's coming right out of the report, I don't know if we'd need to edit.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like you could take a couple of pages from here, and they really should. It doesn't have the graphics necessarily, so if you want the shiny graphics, but like pages 4 and 5, I feel like if that's all you read, report summary, data summary, and a conclusion. I don't know. That maybe that's not the right information or pieces of it, but I think if it's pulled, you can pull something straight from the report.
It's also an opportunity to shine some light on the fact that this commission's been reactivated.
Right.
So that it's a one pager that shows that the supervisors are behind this and that this commission has completed its first task and these are the outcomes, and stay tuned because we're going to get things done. So they can use it not just for the information, but for the fact that exist.
You're here.
Yeah, it's an introductory component, and so maybe it isn't all infographics. Maybe it's more this exists, and there's a report, and
well, it validates the reestablishment of the
commission. Yeah, and it does help though if you're because there may be asked of you all, like, hey, tell us about your report. Can you come talk to us? So it can help guide that conversation, like what we did for the MPA, right? When we released the older adults' needs assessment, we did, you know, a webinar, and then we had some materials so that you could speak to it in a concise way. So
good points to keep us on.
Okay, for sure.
Okay, so maybe
we'll go back and we'll, yeah.
And so in March, we could be presented with a cost.
I think we could put something together quickly.
Okay.
So to be even in advance, if possible, better to be prepared in advance of the release of the report. Mm-hmm. And just a reminder, I'll be submitting the ASR with the attachment of the report.
ASR is agenda staff report.
Agenda staff report. Mm-hmm. And so it'll post to clerk of the board. If it's March 10th, it'll be the Wednesday before, right?
Correct.
We just authorized a cost not to exceed.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is there a ballpark? Like, is it $1,000? Is it $500? What do you think?
And who works on it, I think, too.
We can email it out today.
Yeah.
Like, we'll go back and, yes.
But I just want to be able to make sure we vote on it and that everybody's okay with the cost. You know what I mean? So.
$225
is the agenda posting. Okay, so the agenda will post February 25th. And I know it's because of your staff. You have all the yeah.
Oh, no, I already
forget. Pressure.
Why don't we do this? If we're in agreement, why don't we say... Well, I was going to say, why don't we set a budget of 1,000? It's a one-page thing. You guys have all the information. Why don't we set a budget of 1,000? And if it goes over that, we'll have to talk. But if it goes under that, that's great.
Okay.
Is that fair?
What's the budget for?
For a summary report, a one-page, that then anybody can talk about it and have it in front of you, and you don't have to go access all this. And it's kind of the forward-facing, like, here we are, because not everybody's going to want to read this whole thing.
Yeah.
So
well, how about earlier we talked about 48? Why don't we just say 50?
ish, and if it goes over, or if it,
for the total.
If it, yeah, for, because I know we had talked about 48. What about just saying 50, and then we'll work with it in two rounds? Because Gabby, too, I don't know. Sometimes she takes a while for formatting.
I also wonder, not to really take a sideways here, but if we have something shorter as a leave behind, maybe we don't need 250 copies of the report. Maybe then 200 is sufficient. So you're, like, we've set kind of an expected dollar amount for the printing, and maybe we round down, because, yes, you are going to want, the supervisors are going to need their 50. We still.
Well, I like giving it to every city, too.
So you get 34.
Especially if you put a QR code on it to link to the report. Yeah. I mean, that's more convenient.
That would cover the printing, right? That would maybe cover the printing costs of a larger number of a one-pager. So I think we could.
Well, I feel bad because Joanna already left. So I think we need to stick with what we agreed with and either decide if we're going to do the
50,000. Are folks okay with the ad hoc deciding once we have more info? I don't know.
That's fair. You, we have the ad hoc existing
the options.
The original one, I'm fair with that.
Not to exceed is the best option.
Not to exceed.
Okay, because I speak before a lot of city councils, and it's good to give them that before you do the speaking.
They don't always look at it. I do. I'm sure Christine does, but a lot of people don't actually. Okay, well, let's for now. Let's say, you know, not to exceed 50. If we're okay
like
with that. And then that would be the reason not to go to reprint more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I guess there's a motion on the table to increase it to 50 to include a one-page summary. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor?
Yep.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I think it'll really help us with the communication.
Great. Okay, so if there's no other, we've gone over, I really appreciate, no other commissioner comments? Roundtable.
Also have really quickly,
yes.
Sorry. Just wanted to flag, and this can be a set off offline conversation, but for June Ellen and Crystal, I'd love to co-present with you at the Women's History Month event. And that was my understanding we would do as kind of the report coming from both years of the chairs, but we can continue that offline.
Okay, fantastic. I'm happy. Yeah, I was going to recognize you as past chair anyways, so. Okay, then I'm going to adjourn at 12:10, and our next meeting is March 5th, and then 5 days later, we'll be in there.
Back. Well, we're here already.
Wow.
I can't believe it's time.
Yeah.
We've been talking
about
it.
Yeah.
And happy Valentine's Day.
Great work and effort.
Yeah.